Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1697, air date June 19th, 2026.
We're live? Okay, I don't see the thumbnail longer, so. You sharing the thumbnail? Oh, okay. For some reason, I don't. Does everyone else see it? I guess I don't see it.
Yeah, we don't see it.
Oh, you are. I see you're showing it on stream. That's okay. So let's start. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Ayadure. Welcome to our Thursday open house event. The discussion today, you can see we have this really funny thumbnail. It's got a picture of me, and you see Donald Trump in an all-American headdress, and you see Elizabeth Warren in her headdress, and the title is that Dr. Shiva versus fake American Donald Trump and fake Indian Elizabeth Warren. And what we're talking about is when you actually, we can go to video, Andrew, when we actually go through the analysis we're going to go through, you'll actually see that the Republicans and Democrats at the federal level, Republicans, in this case, Donald Trump, who claims he's against election fraud, and Elizabeth Warren, who's a federal officer, who's duty bound to the U.S. Constitution, both are implicitly and explicitly colluding to support election fraud in Massachusetts. Donald Trump has every authority. He's part of the enforcement division, the executive branch, given what's going on in Massachusetts, to literally prosecute the Secretary of State, who has said he's going to delete ballot images. Okay? So does everyone understand that? That we live in a republic. To those of you outside of the United States, the United States is made up of 50 states, which decided to come together. Every state has their own, you know, local state governments, but every state sends two senators to the federal level, and they send a certain number of House of Representatives to the lower Congress. So the House of Representatives is one part of Congress, and the Senate is the other. But these independent states are united as the United States, and they send representatives to this thing called Congress. Everyone aware of this, how that works? So the people that are elected to go to Congress are federal officers, okay? They're duty-bound by federal law. If you're elected to your local state government, you know, you have the local state laws. One of the important things to recognize is that there is a supremacy clause of the United States Constitution, right? So if you have a bunch of states, they all have their own local state constitutions. But there's a federal constitution too. And one of the too. Why is this important? Because it says that the Constitution is supreme over state constitutions, okay? So for example, obviously, the United States Constitution, the 14th Amendment, says what? That blacks have the right to vote. All people are created equal, right? 19th Amendment essentially gave women the right to vote. So that's in the U.S. Constitution. Suppose the state of Oregon or Texas, where Diana's from, decided, oh, we don't want women to vote anymore. We really think, you know, that was really a bad law. Women are a lot better staying at home, you know, and that's where they should be. There's no reason women should vote. Why can't the state do that? Well, it's a supremacy clause of the United States Constitution, okay? Article 6, Clause 2. States can't violate federal law. Does this make sense? So very simple stuff. All of you should be able to explain this to others. And that's why it's valuable to have these open houses, because the educational system in America dumbs down people. The media dumbs down people. The politicians dumb down people. We don't want to dumb you down. We want to elevate you to so you can go enlighten other people and raise their consciousness. But the bottom line is that's a fundamental principle. Okay. The United States Constitution clearly has various laws that keep being passed over time, right? So the civil rights movement resulted And one of the biggest things was to make sure you have fair elections, right? Right when Black people were given the right to vote, even though they had the right to vote, people would harass Black people, right? From going to the booth, right? Or get their votes and burn them, right? Burn the ballots. So all sorts of laws came up to make sure that if an election took place, you can audit an election. So if Rose ran for office and she suspected that all of her ballots were just thrown in the garbage, she has a right to audit. And that was passed, those laws were passed by a Democrat majority. And one of the laws was 52 USC 20701. Again, write it down because you can educate people. 52 USC 20701. Very important law. You should be able to quote this. And that law basically said that after an election takes place, you have 22 months to question that election, right? So you can audit it. And this was considered very fair because it gave people the right to do that, right? Now, the process, that's under the assumption that you can actually do the auditing, right? They didn't burn the ballots, okay? Or, as we're going to discuss, they didn't delete all the ballot images when no auditing could take place. Okay, so that's the background. And as many of you know, it was in 2020, it was our movement, our Senate campaign, which uncovered the fact, and we shared it with the world. Billions of people started learning about this, that the United States elections, when the machines that are used in U.S. elections, by and large, have a feature where you can multiply votes, a weighted race feature. So what this means is if Gerald got 1,000 votes and let's say Sean got 1,000 votes, so how many total people voted? 2,000 people, right? Okay. So if you went and looked at the actual ballots, there should be how many ballots? 2,000 ballots. Okay. When machines are used, the paper ballots, so there's multiple ways that votes are counted. Actually, two major ways. Hand-counted paper ballots. You know, you actually have a piece of paper you fill out, and someone actually looks at the paper and counts the votes, right? Very, very simple way of doing it. And then these paper ballots are saved. The other is this paper ballot goes into a machine. And does the machine read the paper to count the votes? No. The machine takes a picture. Very important to understand. It takes a picture and creates an image, okay? In the computer's local memory, creates an image. And then software runs and looks for, oh, there's a dot for Gerald. Oops, there's a dot for Sean, right? And it looks for those little ellipses, right? It's got quote-unquote AI software, imaging software. So after it processes that image, what is it supposed to do? Now, 52 USC 20701 says all records in connection with the federal election must be what? Must be saved for 22 months. Is that not a record, that image? It's an image, right? It's a digital image. It has to be saved. The Department of Justice has ruled on this and given guidance reports. In fact, it was the Biden administration that did this in 2021, not Trump. Biden actually stepped up to the plate and said, yeah, those electronic ballot images must also be preserved. You can't just say it's a paper. All records shall be preserved. Okay? So why do we want to do this? Let's say Gerald and again and Sean run, and they're not using hand votes. All of them are done by machine. So Gerald got 1,000 and Sean got 1,000. How many ballot images should there be? Anyone? 2,000 ballot images, right? Okay. And they're supposed to be saved, right? All right. As I've done in previous videos, those machines have a feature. And it's a long journey. I can talk about why they have this feature, which shouldn't even be allowed. It's created for cheating. It was actually created in some ways for a practical reason for another case, but they left it in election voting machines, is that I can multiply Gerald's vote by two. For every one vote Gerald got, I can multiply it by two. And for every vote Sean got, I can multiply it by 0.5. Okay? So if I, let's say I had done that and I cheated, you would have 2,000 votes for Gerald, and what, 500 votes for Sean. What's the total number of votes? 2,500 votes. Got it? Does that make sense? So how many ballot images should there be? 2,500. So in my election in 2020, it was well accepted that I won the election. We had put $2 million in, all raised bottoms up, $1, $5 donations. And on election day, the only county I won in was Franklin County, where it's all paper counted ballots. And in all the, by 10 points. And in all other counties, it was a eerie 60-40, 60-40, 60-40, 60% for my opponent, 40% for me, as though my votes were multiplied by a factor of 0.6666. Okay? Decremented. So therefore, I asked for the ballot images, right? Because there would be a discrepancy. Does that make sense? Just like the example I gave you. So we went into the election office in 2020, and we said, we'd like the ballot images. And they laughed at us. We have it on video. Ha, ha, ha. We turned that feature off. We don't need to save ballot images. In a series of email interactions, I said, you violated federal law. The Secretary of State of Massachusetts attorney sends me their voter manual, their voting equipment manual, never answers a question. So I tweet out the fact that these images were deleted. As I've shared over and over again, I was thrown off Twitter for sharing the truth. And I was thrown off not by Twitter doing it, but by the government telling Twitter to do it, which is a violation of the First Amendment. And then, you know, there's a whole story, the lawsuit took place. So, but this year, we decided when we were going to run for office, we were going to take proactive action. So our movement, Shooting for Senate campaign's team and its leadership, this time, you know, I've done a lot of lawsuits. They've been trained. They filed a writ of mandamus. Now, the writ of mandamus is a document which basically tells the court, tells government officials at the state court, hey, there's a federal law here, fucking follow the law, or you're in criminal violation. You know, you'll be thrown in jail. Here's a law. Women have the right to vote. You can't deny them the right to vote. Blacks have the right to vote. You can't, you know, deny their vote. You must save ballot images. Save the fucking ballot images. It's very simple. It was like a two-page, three-page, right, Nicholas? A three-page document. Very simple. Here's a law. Follow the law. In response to that, they wrote back to us in end of May, and they said, they lied to the court. They said, Your Honor, no ballot images are ever created. Okay? There's no ballot images created. And therefore, how can we save something that does not exist? And then they proceeded to also add a caveat. Our state of Massachusetts has its own laws where we protect our citizens. And we don't want to save ballot images. Okay? So that would be, again, like saying, hey, we never heard about a law that blacks could vote, women could vote. And by the way, in Massachusetts, we don't like blacks and women voting. It's no different. Get it? I'm giving you this analogy. This is how ridiculous this is. Okay? So, and then for whatever reason, remember, the election is November 3rd, 4th, 2026. They got the judge in this case to move the lawsuit calendar when our case is even going to be heard until end of 2028, early 2029. Which means 3 years after the election's over, then we get a chance to prosecute our claims. And you can imagine what will go on in court then. Oh, Dr. Shiva, the election's over. There are no ballot images. This case is moot. You know, I can't really do anything. Okay? All right. You get the picture? Very few people in the world even know about this knowledge. Very few Americans know about it. Okay? Now, I have always argued that all elections should be paper ballots. As a side note, let me also mention that the United States government has always been involved in election fraud of all other people's elections. The United States government has been manipulating the elections in Central America, South America, Southeast Asia, Africa, okay? Through CIA and Mossad run out of Israel. It's a well-known fact. You can research it. So they put in voting machines, and remotely they can manipulate these elections. This is how fascists have been getting installed all over Central America and South America by U.S. government intervention. So the U.S. government, not the people, have been massively involved through their ally Israel. So Israel, if you read about it, has centers to commit election fraud. What's very interesting, I did some research. Israel does not allow electronic voting at all. The Zionist government has told its people, we will only use paper ballots because electronic voting is insecure. So the Zionists maintain in their democracy paper ballots, but all the rest of us, right, Mossad, etc., promotes electronic voting. Now, again, no one has even talked about this. So let me repeat again. Every election in Israel is run through paper ballots. Supposedly the smartest people on the planet, the most ingenious technologists, they don't use fucking technology. They use paper. Why? Because it's secure, and it is. But in the United States, we are taught how great electronic voting is, and secretaries of state are lying to their public and saying there are no ballot images created. And by the way, because they're not created, we're deleting them. And that's what I want to talk about. Okay. So what we did was when we found out that they had changed the hearing to November 2028, we didn't sit on our ass, as Nicholas said. Most people go, boo hoo, what do we do? Oh my God, go on Twitter and cry, right? Go on Tucker Carlson show. These people do nothing. Because we do something, we're independent, that's why we're shadow banned. Not because we tell the truth, because we actually take the truth and we actually do something with it. This is dangerous. When they love people just throwing tantrums. That's WWE. You get views. It's soap opera, dramatic, making faces, Tucker Carlson, all these things. But we actually are doing something to change the world. So what did we do? We immediately filed a opposition to their lies. Number one, we gave all the legal reasons. Number two, another document. Then we filed an emergency motion, which, by the way, like most lawyers don't even know how to fucking do this. We figured out the rules and we said, look, we want this hearing heard not in November 2028, but before the election. And this is why. Now, when you make that argument to a judge, the judge also gets embarrassed because judges, so if you're a federal judge or a state judge and you rule on something and you're unfair to the plaintiff, you can be appealed, and that's a black mark on your record. So they don't like that. So they said, shit, we filed immediately 2 days ahead of time, and the judge gave us an emergency hearing. From what I understand, they only do that in 1% of the time. Big victory for our movement. See, every time we keep winning. So anyway, what I want to share with you tonight is what occurred at that hearing. Okay. So I have presented on Zoom in many hearings. I've never physically gone into an actual courtroom, you know? It's a little bit more daunting, you know, because you have the big desk and the judges there in their robe. I mean, it is sort of daunting anyway, but it's a little bit different. And so we went there. And it was a long 2 days. I think I got very little sleep. One of our volunteers, Jerry Payne, came. He helped me print out stuff, so it was good. So we went into the hearing room. The attorney general of Massachusetts showed up with like 9 other people. They had like this whole like team there. Okay, it was just us, you know, with our, you know, file folder here, right, prepared, and us. That's it. They had like a team of 9 people, observers, everything. And it was interesting because the first case was like two people arguing of some major issue with some estate. One person wanted to evict the other person. You know, it was just nonsense. The second case was another estate hearing case, one family member fighting against another family member. And that went on, and you could see the judge was getting frustrated. So then our case came up. So I wasn't sure how this judge was going to react, because you don't know, right? So I went up, and you sit in the front, the plaintiffs, and the attorney general sits behind you. And the judge asked me to introduce ourselves, which we did. And I said, you know, look, I'm pro se, which means that I'm not a lawyer. And it's the first time I'm presenting in this environment. She thought it's the first. She said, no, I know you've presented before. So she'd obviously looked us up. So I want to walk you through what we did. So I presented the case. And Nicholas, I don't know if you can bring up the actual, their opposition that they filed. Do you have that?
I think I can get it.
Yeah, let me see if I have it. So remember, they had filed their opposition against our, I think it is somewhere, right, Nick? Can you find it? Let me see. What's her name? So let me find it. I may have it here. So the other attorney's name was Marina, and they had filed their opposition in court against our original writ of mandamus, saying, you know, okay, I got it, Nick. I have it here. So,
okay.
So what, you know, we did a lot of preparation for this. It was a lot of work, because you have to, you know, have all your shit together, because you're going as a pretty formidable opponents, right? These people go to Harvard Law School, they do moot court, they're very trained, right? You know, they pay what, $250,000 for their programs. They're back, they get all sorts of training, dress rehearsals, right? And they have a huge team of lawyers behind them. Meanwhile, it's our movement and the learnings we have. So it's, in many ways, it is David against Goliath when we go here. So anyway, what I did was, but you know, if you're a good student and you have good teachers when you're young, you learn very good habits of how to have your stuff together, how to be well organized, right? And we teach people that, you know, even in our movement, okay? So let me walk you through this. So what we did was, you guys want to hear the presentation? It's valuable. So we went into court, and I'll just read it to you guys. I said, good afternoon, Your Honor. May it please the court. By the way, we will get the transcript, and we'll put it on a site that Andrew and others have created. I don't know, Andrew, if you can put it in the chat to me, Andrew, I can bring it up. But I said, good afternoon, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Dr. Shiva Adre. I appear pro se as a declared and qualified independent candidate for the United States Senate in the 2026 election cycle. I recognize the precise procedural posture of this emergency tracking conference. Remember, when you go into court, you're there for a reason. Judges hate it if you go outside of the bounds. You can't suddenly start talking about all sorts of other shit. This was an emergency hearing that they gave so we could talk about why the hearing date should be moved from November 2028 to now. That's the argument I have to make, okay? I can't actually argue the case, right? They'll shut you down, okay? So that was the biggest thing, because most judges will interrupt you, especially if you're a novice. But she let me do the whole thing end to end, just to give you the background, okay? So I said, I recognize the procedural posture of this emergency tracking conference. I'm grateful to the court and the assistant clerk magistrate for fast-tracking this motion. I want a schedule so the hearing of this case occurs before the election, not in November of 2028. And in that regard, we're only asking for a temporary order to freeze and preserve the electronic voting data, the ballot images, which are indeed created in memory, so it is not overwritten while the legal issues are worked out by the parties and the case doesn't become moot. What I'm saying is, if we don't do that, let's say the case extends to next year, and if we don't tell them to, at least for now, preserve the ballot images, next year they'll say, oh, the ballot images are deleted. We don't have them. There's nothing here to argue, okay? So I said, as experienced election counsel has advised, without this immediate relief, the respondent, which is a government, will run out the clock, rendering the controversy moot. If the current administrative configurations on the voting machines remain in place, The digital ballot images generated during tabulation will be overwritten and destroyed before trial. No post-election recount can occur then. The subject matter of this lawsuit and the court's ability to grant meaningful relief will be irreparably lost. There are five points I'd like to make, Your Honor. The first is this. The opposition rests on a single demonstrably false assertion that the requested records, ballot images, quote unquote, do not and will not exist per the affidavit of the Secretary of State of Massachusetts. They have claimed the voting equipment, quote, does not create or store ballot images, end quote. However, I must address the hard engineering reality. Claiming an optical scan tabulator can count votes without generating digital ballot images is physically impossible. I said I would like to point Your Honor to Exhibit E in the document, which is the opposition that the secretary filed in their own document, in their own response. And in that document, let me bring this up. This is the document, which is Exhibit E. And this Exhibit E is signed by William F. Galvin, and it is the approval of voting equipment in Massachusetts. And in that document, on page 2, you can read it right here, what it says here. Okay, it says both sides, if you see it right here, it says both sides, this is what they actually submitted, both sides of the ballot are processed and simultaneously with high resolution scanners and resulting ballot images are decoded by a proprietary recognition engine. So ballot images, bottom line, are created, okay? The scanner must photograph the paper ballot, create a high resolution digital ballot image in memory, and feed that image to the recognition engine. Without the digital file, the ballot image, the system is blind and cannot tabulate a single vote. What the respondents call, quote unquote, disabling the capability is not non-creation of the ballot image, but a deliberate administrative instruction done by human beings to auto-delete the generated ballot image, which was indeed created before permanent storage. This is no different than you working on a Microsoft Word document on your computer, which was indeed created, and not hitting save. You cannot say that you didn't create the Word document, you just forgot to hit save, or deliberately in this case, did not save it, which you're supposed to do per federal law. Okay, this is electronic record destruction under violating federal law, 52 USC 20701. That's my first point, Your Honor. The second point is this. The Secretary of State may argue, don't worry, Massachusetts uses paper ballots. Those are safe. This is a technical misdirection. The tabulator, the voting tabulators, do not tabulate the votes from the physical paper. Very critical for everyone to understand this. It decodes the ballot image generated in memory. The ballot image forms the basis for the electronic vote count. The votes are based on the image, not on the paper. So for example, if the scanner was a bad scanner, generated a lot of like dirt and artifacts, it's the image that counted that's used to count the votes, right? So you always want the image because that was the ultimate thing. Therefore, those electronic records, the ballot images, are the primary records used by the system to determine the vote count. Keeping the paper is important, but it does not replace a separate requirement to preserve the electronic record, the ballot images. Federal law 52 USC 20701 treats physical ballots and electronic records as separate, independent records, but both must be preserved. Access to paper ballots months later in a restricted recount does not justify the real-time destruction of the ballot images the machines actually use. In fact, the Department of Justice has formally issued a clear guidance in July 28, 2021 by the Biden administration, not the Trump administration, that explicitly states, quote, the materials covered extend beyond papers to include other records. Jurisdictions must therefore also retain preserved records created in digital electronic form, end quote. The DOJ explicitly warns election officials that failing to save these records of ballot images carries federal criminal penalties under Section 302. It is not a choice of local election officials. It is a federal retention mandate. Everyone get this? Now, quick aside, Donald Trump has been notified of this. He knows this. The so-called people made a shitload of money using my material, fighting election fraud, know this is occurring. The Department of Justice should be throwing these people in jail when they're telling us they're going to delete ballot images. Is this simple? So the Republicans know this, and they're not doing anything. Elizabeth Warren knows this, and she's a federal officer, fake Indian. She's not doing anything. So Donald Trump, who claims he's a real American, he's a fake American. He's, you know, everyone pretty much knows this now. He's not doing anything. So this third point I made was, Your Honor, the respondents argues that USC 20701 provides no right of action and that private right of action, that and I lack standing. This conflates standard damages lawsuits with the writ of mandamus. Per common law authority by this court, a state official must perform non-discretionary ministerial duties imposed by federal law. The law says that the officer, quote, shall retain and preserve, end quote, these records, not may. The duty is mandatory, stripping the Secretary of State of discretion under the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution. If state agencies can nullify federal record retention laws with simply a software switch, not only on this matter, on any matter, every congressional transparency statute becomes meaningless. This court has an obligation to enforce the supreme law of the land. And then finally, Your Honor, this is not novel or partisan. In Geraldine Thompson versus Laurel and Laurel Lee, candidates challenged the identical policy of disabling digital ballot image storage. Florida is an all-Republican state, primarily, which was also trying to tell its citizens that they don't save ballot images. Massachusetts is a Democrat state doing the same thing to its citizens. Florida officials advanced the same, quote unquote, ephemeral image defense. Courts and litigation exposed that many counties were already preserving ballot images by simply flipping a switch to on, right? So after the image is done, it saves it to a hard drive. Major jurisdictions, including Miami-Dade County, reached agreements to retain the images permanently. The physics of a DS200 tabulator, which is a voting machine, in Boston, are identical to the physics of the one in Miami. This is a nonpartisan systems engineering issue. The Florida experience proves a simple turnkey solution exists. And then when I closed, I said, I gave the judge two orders that I wanted her to sign. And I said, the first order, you know, I held it up and gave it to her, and I had to give it to the attorney general. I said, this first order says that we want an expedited trial before, you know, far long before November 3rd. Okay. And the second order I said was that we want a temporary injunction issued so the government flips that switch to on, saves the images. And I said, this temporary solution requires no new taxpayer money, no custom programming, no hardware. The manufacturer already built this option directly into the system. Changing it as simple as checking a box on your iPhone or Android settings. It takes less than 60 seconds per machine to switch from on to off. There is no administrative burden. It is just a simple choice to follow the law and save ballot images. I respectfully ask the court to sign the scheduling order and issue the preservation directive today. Once again, I'm most grateful to Your Honor, to the court, for accelerating, for giving us this emergency hearing. So that's what we gave. And after I did that, so I'm the movant, which means I present the case. We did that in 15 minutes. Then the attorney general's office got up, and it was sort of hilarious. Even after all this, she goes, Your Honor, I'm paraphrasing, by the way, this case is moot because ballot images are never generated in Massachusetts. She goes, some places use paper ballots. Other places use tabulators where they don't capture images. Others don't store them. So there's nothing really here to see. Basically, move along, go pound sand. There's nothing here to see. There's no images created. That was it. That was their argument, which was great. So I got up and I said, Your Honor, I said, the counsel here is pretty duplicitous, is frankly duplicitous, using the word capture and storage. I said, let me make it simply clear. Valid images are created. And I said, I gave the example, no different than you making, you opening up your computer and creating a Word document. It is created in memory. They're simply choosing not to save it. That is violating the law. And then she got up and she said, oh, but the federal law doesn't say that I have to save. So she started backtracking the valid images. And I said, Your Honor, obviously she doesn't know what she's saying, because the Biden administration, and we know Massachusetts is a Democrat administration, passed, gave a guidance. And I read it out. That was, let me give you the reference. I said, it's Department of Justice Civil Rights Division's official document titled Federal Law Constraints on Post-Election Audits, published on July 28, 2021. And it says that ballot images too must be preserved. It's a DOJ guidance. So anyway, the judge, I think after all these two idiot cases she heard, she was quite interested in this. And she said, she goes, I got to read everything and I'll make a ruling. Okay. So that's what happened. All of this was done by volunteers. We didn't make a shindig and raise money and grovel to other people and do, you know, grifting off of it. But we're the ones who are fighting. And the reality is, if Andrew, for those of you on social media who can see this, you know, the image, I don't know if I can bring it up here. The image basically has, we did it something to, you know, somewhat be, it's serious actually, but it is somewhat unfortunately sardonic and quite funny, is that both Democrats and Republicans do not want independents ever, you know, questioning their elections. That's what the reality is. Okay, let's be honest. Because Trump could easily, and by the way, I texted Harmeet Dhillon, who's the head of the Civil Rights Division. She knows me. They could move like this on it. You have a Secretary of State saying, I am going to lynch Black people. I'm not saying this, and not let them vote. That's the equivalent. I'm going to delete ballot images. I mean, there's no difference here in terms of the procedure of not following the law. The Department of Justice should be putting these guys in jail right now. So Republicans and Democrats, remember, even in Florida, they did the same thing. Democrats actually had to fight. My point is this, that Democrats and Republicans are one. They run these elections knowing that when something is wrong, we can audit them. They delay the audit because if it's all paper, it'll take 2 freaking years. And then the case becomes moot. If it's digital images, nowadays you can get it and run it through AI and do it in hours. You can audit a federal election. They don't want us doing that. And who is it against? It's against independent movements. It's against independents. Massachusetts is 65% independent. Yet, why do independents keep voting for Democrat and Republican? And the result in Massachusetts, you know, we have this great flyer. It says, here's the result. Housing has become unaffordable. Cost of living, you can't do. Healthcare is sick care. Elections aren't transparent. And drive around Boston, the roads and bridges are falling apart. So independents are 65%. Are voting for these two people. They're giving their votes away. So that's what this election and our movement is educating people. You have decided to get off the plantation. Great. You're heading in the direction of truth, freedom, health, independent movements. Now get out of the cage. So we're giving people a stellar opportunity. Okay. And what we're telling people is, on a spiritual level or core value level, are you going to choose courage over fear, service over selfishness, responsibility over dependence, truth over manipulation, and independence over submission? And one of the things I've put in here is, it's the choices we make reflect the world we create. So no one can blame anyone anymore. So if 65% of people have already chosen to be independent, and you keep voting for these two fucking idiots, who's to blame? 54 million Americans are independent, yet they keep voting for these numbnuts. So it's something like the slave has decided, I don't want to be a slave, but he doesn't want to leave the plantation. So our movement is right there, going to give them the courage, knowing there's a community. Look, you can leave the plantation. It's okay. You could get off the plantation. So we're going to give them this very nice baby step. Vote Dr. Shiva. It's your opportunity to one step forward to leave the plantation. We're not saying that's the end, but we're giving people an actual opportunity. And as a part of that, we're also fighting. We're exposing in court. We know they'll try to cheat us, but by us doing this, by doing this video, we're the ones educating people now. And by the way, I sent out our media advisor about this lawsuit. People said, oh, you should give Fucker a chance. Fucker will cover this. Well, I sent it to Fucker Carlson. Nothing. Glenn Greenwald initially said, okay, I want to talk to you. Nothing. And then I sent it to 10 other podcasters. One woman, what's her name? Patriot Blonde, Patriotic Blonde. She took it up and she wrote a nice article. You see? So we're always going to go to everyday, ordinary people. Fucker Carlson will talk about this 20 years later because he wants to get views and clicks. That's all these people want. They want views and clicks. They will tell the truth to get views and clicks, but they do not want ever to support anyone who's telling the truth and mobilizing people to change the system, to fight. They don't want that. They want people listening to them, not doing something. So that's why the future is offline and going into court and doing this. You know, that's why this paper is a weapon. It's paper. Okay? So we get to hand it out. We get to see somebody. So everyone out there, how can you participate? First of all, everyone here in our town hall and everyone on social media, we're giving you an opportunity to participate in actually being a good citizen. It's for you. We've created an amazing environment. We have amazing infrastructure, amazing software that you can use to mobilize people. We have amazing people who come from all different walks of life, very dedicated people. People have a lot of wisdom here who've been on the ground. So you get access to all this. It's basically, we've created like a, if MIT is an, the number one institute for, you know, technology, we've created an institute for political change, a revolutionary institute, and we train people. So, and we have various levels of people. People watch our videos on the outer. Some people become members. Some people actually learn. Some people advance themselves. But I keep telling people, a lot of people are around me. They like what I do, very close people, but they'll still have some stupid illusions because they never finish the fucking course. They never understand the voraciousness of the not so obvious establishment. They have these illusions in their head. They think you can sort of talk your way through opportunists. You can't. So we have created a community of really, really very non-naive leaders now. And that's great. It's not just me. And they study. You have to study this stuff just like you would have to study electrical engineering, just like you'd have to study how to fly a plane. And a lot of people think politics is something you just have your own fucking opinions. No, there is a physics. And that is what I've uncovered as a technologist. There's a physics to how this world is organized. And you have to study that. Otherwise, your opinions are just like a fucking two-year-old telling Michael Jordan how to shoot a basket. You don't know what you're talking about. So you have to humble yourself. You have to put your fucking ego over there and value the fact that for the first time in humanity, there is a institute, a framework for you to understand the physics, understand how you're being fucked and how to unfuck yourselves, how to have a community and what actions you can take to advance your consciousness. You see, we had to create a curriculum. So we have the physics, the theory, and then we as a movement have to figure out, okay, this person is over here and understanding what action can we give them so they go over here? No different than a coach saying, wow, he's fucking throwing that ball the wrong way. I got to tell him to go do this stretch so he can do this. You see? And that's what we're trying to figure out. It's very objective. This person's here, but they're sincere. They keep thinking Fucker Carlson's their friend. What is the experience I can give them so they go from here to here? So the experience I did was I wrote to Fucker. Fucker here is a media advisor. Will you fucking cover this, Fucker? And Fucker didn't fucking do anything anymore. All right. So when they asked me, well, look, here's the email. 6 years later, he doesn't do anything. So we are constantly, and we're playing the long game. Another idiotic thing the swarm does. Well, things are so urgent. No, the shit is going to, the swarm, let me tell you, doesn't want to blow themselves up. They're going to keep manipulating things. They'll take us to the brink, tank the stock market, buy low, sell high. The idiots think Armageddon is coming tomorrow. It ain't. They have their shit together. The issue is, do we have our shit together? And we're playing the long game, which is raising consciousness. So everything we do in our movement, the platform, the infrastructure, the orientation, it's like every day we keep marching forward and we find good people. We're not here to convince you to wake up. We're here to move our movement forward, and we invite people in their journey. At the right time, they'll come, and the movement will grow because we have people who have matured to understand what we're talking about. But before we existed, there wasn't a place for those people. They'd be alone, depressed, thinking they were, woe is me. But now they can't say, woe is me. There's a place that you can learn and advance and become a professional revolutionary of sorts, right? No different than becoming a professional engineer. And we're using engineering principles that we've uncovered. So that's what this is about. So everything that I've shared with you here is actions we take to give people experiences to raise consciousness. It's only through action do you have an experience. And from that experience, then do you raise your consciousness? Nicholas, when he first reached out to me, was good, was he actually went and read. He got all the books and he read the shit. That's very good. A lot of old goats don't know how to do that. They think they know it all. But you got to read the shit. You got to understand. When I mean old, I don't mean old people. People think they know it all. Nicholas read it. Then he went and collected signatures, took an action. He got thrown in jail for not violating the law in Kentucky. Then we wrote to Rand Paul and Thomas Massey, opportunist fuckers who act like they're fighting for us, did nothing, those two. Nicholas realized no one's coming to save him. We won the lawsuit ourselves. So that experience raised his consciousness at a very different rate than someone who's, you know, has been fighting movements, so on. You have to go from the knowledge, the theory, the community, and the action. Theory, community, action. That is the foundations of the movement. So everything we do is very deliberate. We do the lawsuit, we educate, we come out of the lawsuit, we educate. Orientation, we educate. That's what we do here. So it's an opportunity. So everyone here, you know, your action right now is we have in the next 4 months, 5 months, we have an opportunity to change history. How can you do that? Well, wherever you are, we've given you different actions. Where you can, from your own home, you can make phone calls. Easy. Do you have to pay for the phone calls? No. What do you need? A phone and download an app. You guys download all sorts of wacky apps. Okay. Well, download this app. 1 hour a day. And who are you calling? You're calling other people like yourself. You're bringing some new concepts to them. And you're calling people in Massachusetts and saying, hey, look, Dr. Shiva's running. All we want you to pledge your vote, would you like to volunteer? And we made it even easier. You don't have to do this and dial. You hit a button and it connects you. So how much more easier do we want to make it, right? Using modern technology, we've made activism nearly frictionless. Some of you can come to Massachusetts. Some of you already have from all over the world and helped us collect signatures. And the point we're trying to make is our taking part in the election in Massachusetts is not just a Massachusetts event or a US event. It's a global phenomenon, because what occurs in the United States Congress, as we just saw in Iran, right? It is congressmen who are making these decisions. affects the global working class. So everyone here, when you raise your consciousness to that level, you're truly operating on the recognition everything is interconnected. So people in, people in Singapore are calling people in Massachusetts and telling vote for, when has that ever occurred? Vote for Dr. Shiva. No fucking campaign has ever done that. People in Finland are calling people in Massachusetts. People in Pennsylvania are doing that. People in Pennsylvania are recruiting volunteers in Massachusetts to get off their butt because we see this as a global interconnected phenomenon. So this is historic what's going on. So all of you have an opportunity to act, study, join the community and act. Theory, community, action. We've created an institute, a new field. So that's what we've done. And we'd like you guys, based on where you're at, to figure out where what's the right place that you want to participate, whatever you feel comfortable in. So that's where we're at. So it's very exciting. We're going to start passing out flyers. We have three major barbecues planned. Leaders in our movement are welcome to come. If you want to come to Massachusetts, we'll figure out how to get you here. So it's very exciting. And as you can see, what we're doing is profound, right? U.S. elections are fundamentally designed to keep out the independents. They delete ballot images. Republicans and Democrats are staying silent. Donald Trump and Elizabeth Warren. Fake Indian and fake American. So anyway, we'll take questions. Thank you. You can, Andrew, if you can see any, if you see any comments on social media, you can put it here, but let's go to Q&A. And whoever's running this.
Everyone, please put your questions in the chat. Click the chat icon, then press new chat to send your questions to one of the co-hosts or Dr. Shiva.
We also put on October 16th, isn't that right, Gerald? We're hosting an international conference for Truth from Hell. Gerald
has worked with his team. Yeah, that's going to be October 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Yeah, so we have speakers coming from all over the world, locally. It's an opportunity for people to meet. We have a lot of events planned. In fact, when you guys come here, we're all going to go hand out flyers together. Okay. So wherever you're from. So Gerald will be, the website for that will be up, I think, this coming week, Gerald, next week. So we're finalizing the schedule pretty close.
I think there's a number
of other people who've helped, but we got a lot of events planned coming up. Any questions?
Yeah, everyone, please put your questions in the chat. Do not raise your hand. We will only be taking questions if they are sent in the chat.
Sherry, McNeil is saying, what is the app? So Sherry, the app is a tool that allows you to use your phone to make phone calls. So think about what we're doing. There are, so right now, what we're doing is we're calling Massachusetts voters. And we're telling them, look, pledge your vote to Dr. Shiva now, Sherry. So wherever you are, Sherry, you can type in here where you are, Sherry McNeil, wherever you are, how would you make that phone call? Well, you download our app, and using the app, you can hit a button and it'll make phone call to talk to a citizen in Massachusetts. Okay. So Sherry said, I'm in Missouri. It's a framework. The entire back end is Truth, Freedom, Health. And we have member, warrior, scholar, and leader. So, next question. Nicholas has put up something here, a lawsuit website. Okay. Rose says, when you are a U.S. Senator in Massachusetts, will you run for U.S. president? And does that require you to step down from senator to run for president? No, I don't think you have to step down. You can still run. Rose, you don't have to step down. And let me be just very clear, our running for election is not running for election. Our running for election is a part of expanding our movement. And electioneering gives us a wonderful opportunity to talk about issues that they cannot ignore with all the shadow banning. So it's a vehicle that we take advantage of. And if we win, it doesn't mean we have illusions that me being a lone senator, then I'm going to be some opportunist like Thomas Massey or Bernie Sanders and try to change something on their grounds. No, we're going to use that platform to address the issues that we've talked about here. And look at what we've done without having such a platform. Imagine what will happen if we have that platform. So that's why it's important we win this U.S. Senate election. Anything else? So, Nicholas, are you going to do... Catherine's got a question. Catherine, sweet God, Catherine. It says, do you have any sense of the time frame when the judge... We don't know. We don't know. I'll check in, Catherine. Good question. It's a question. Catherine, when will the judge... Now, it's interesting is when I went in, the judge was sort of apologetic. She said, you know, we've had this case sort of sitting here for 2 months and that wasn't right. Essentially, that's what she said. So we'll see what happens. You know, judges are all political appointments, Catherine, you know? So you can't trust any of it, you know? It's a crapshoot. I do want to also let people know that every week we're more and more maturing to the fact that we have our core institute, you know, framework, Truth, Freedom, Health, but now we've created these solution tracks. So those of you who say, well, how can I take Truth, Freedom, Health, these concepts and actually build, you know, I'm doing this other job. I'm a nurse. It's a very interesting example. I'm a nurse in the old establishment and I'm just, you know, like a robot following protocols. I actually want to actually really help people get healed. Well, we've created the Systems Health Educator Program. It uses systems principles to create a whole new field of systems health. And so those of you who want to go through that, there's an entire program. It's getting more and more mature. It's a self-based curriculum, a live curriculum. There's exams, and then there's internships you do. And out of that, you can become your own systems health educator. And we're creating programs where you can then go have a sustainable income stream. Similarly, we've launched our Clean Food Certified Consulting Program. You can go through that program, help manufacturers get clean certified, help restaurants get clean certified, and you can make a very decent income if you want to do that. That's another track. And then the most recent one is we're taking all of our technology that we developed over the last 20 years for doing molecular analysis of compounds and molecular pathways. We're going to make that accessible to consumers and also create a new career called a systems biologist for anyone. So you can go use that technology to really formulate new products, quote unquote, compete with big pharma, compete with nutraceutical companies. So it's quite revolutionary. So, we're platforms, okay? But you have to start with the basics. Sherry McNeil says, when the judge does make her ruling in your favor, if in your favor, is there any chance that the machine will be removed? We have zero trust in elections with machines. Yeah, so Sherry, if the judge rules in our favor, broadly what we've asked, they have to save ballot images. Number one, they have to set the position on. That's a big thing because if vote flipping has taken place, we can do that. But, you know, in our solution that we put forward, you know, globally, we need to eliminate, in my view, the machines themselves. Or if you're going to use the machines, paper goes in, but have the human count the ballot. The machine should be a backup. And the machine count and the human count should match. All right. So, Nicholas or Gerald, you know, I would really ask, you know, very practically, those of you who are here, welcome again. Those of you who've come here, good to see you again. But get involved, whether, you know, I see someone in Trinidad, whether you're in Trinidad or Norway, wherever you are, and don't worry about your accents. People say, oh, my accents, Americans. Well, we have Anna in Finland, who's got hundreds of peoples to pledge, or Felipe in Chile, okay? So there's really no excuse. All those things you come up with are basically excuses. But anyone can participate in this. And you're participating from anywhere in the world even makes the story even more compelling. So I would suggest get onboarded tonight. Start making phone calls and go through the curriculum and become part of something that will provide you a actual path to go from point A to point B, which is from, you know, power, profit, and control to truth, freedom, health. Thank you, everyone. Is there any other questions, direct questions people have? Are we done? Oh, Jeremiah's got a couple of questions here. What do you think of helping individuals? What would you think of helping individuals sell tea and Dr. Siva supplements, low overhead, all virtual? Small actions aligned with our movement that may turn people into truth for the know. Yeah, so one of the things we've done is the technology platform we've created has allowed us to discover things that work, and then we've manufactured them. So yes, so Jeremiah, anyone can do that. More importantly, the next phase we're going into is you can use our technology platform to create your own combinations, your own supplements. And imagine ultimately you can make them and you can have them delivered to you, what's right for you. Okay? That's a platform that we've created. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Get involved. We have July, August, September, October, 4 months left. 120 days is going to go like that. You know, make phone calls, help us get put out flyers, get involved. We have a lot of phenomenal people. You get to meet some really, really great people. The quality of people you meet here are just phenomenal. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Be well.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left-wing, right-wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right, the Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so.
They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.